Announcements, I'm sorry about that, but for those with the marriage workshop, if you do want help with babysitting, please see Scarlett and she'll coordinate that. So Scarlett's there, she's waiting, she's standing up there, so if you see Scarlett, she'll work that out for you. Last week we finished 1 Peter, and we're not going to do 2 Peter, maybe another time. But what we are going to do over the next couple of months, we're going to do a series entitled Walking with God. This is a title of that we did for our leaders workshop last Saturday, and got with the staff on Tuesday, and we thought maybe since we finished 1 Peter, might be a good idea to do a series on walking with God. So today what I'm going to do is a bit of an introduction on the whole idea of walking with God, and then we're going to have some lessons about different men in the Bible who walked with God. I think for myself personally, I'm excited about this topic. It's something I've been researching now for a little bit. And, if there was something I'd like to be known for, we all want to be known for, we want to leave some sort of legacy, if you like. I mean, what would you want to be known for? I mean, there are people that want records and all sorts of things, Olympics, whatever, but their claim to fame. I like to think that I'd love to be known as a person who walked with God. And hopefully if you're here today, that's what you want to do ultimately. And really I believe there's no greater call in our life than for us to walk with God. Matter of fact, that is God's plan for our lives as well. And let's start with an opening scripture if you want to turn to Micah.
I'm broke. I'm Micah.
Not the Micah in the church. Where is Micah? Don't turn to him. He's not a bad kid, but that's Micah over there if you want to know. It's just a verse. He says, "He has shown you, O man," Micah chapter 6, verse 8, "He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God." I don't know how many people in the world today fulfill this whole notion of to humbly walk with God. And you know what? That's not my issue. For me, my heart for this whole series, when I thought about the whole concept of walking with God, when I was thinking about the leaders and our church, my goal is for every single one of us to understand what it means to walk with God. Because I honestly believe if we understand and we grasp this whole concept of walking with God, it will radically change your life. I'm convinced of that. In Genesis chapter 5, turn with me there. In Genesis chapter 5. Now there's two men in the Bible that specifically mentions that they walked with God. There are other mentions, like we read about how we need to walk with God, but these two men are standout characters of men who did just that. And in Genesis chapter 5, beginning in verse 18, when Jared had lived 162 years, go my son Jared. I have a son, that's how we spelt it too, J-R-E-D. He's not going to live 162 years. He became the father of Enoch. And after he became the father of Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Jared lived 962 years and then he died. I always like the way the Bible writes those sorts of things. And then he died. Well, I don't know what else he was going to do. Because I would think, by that stage, you're probably... a lot of us are prepared to go way before 962 years. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and then he was no more because God took him away. Matter of fact, it was amazing because this morning I met an Enoch. I met an Enoch today. I said, "Hey, what's your name?" He said, "My name's Enoch." I said, "What? Are you serious?" He said, "Yeah, my name's Enoch." And I started asking him questions about Enoch. I thought, okay, let me see how good this guy is about Enoch. And you know what? He answered all my questions I threw about Enoch. I said, isn't it amazing? You've come to church here for the first time and we're talking about Enoch. Would you like to meet Enoch?
Yeah.
There he is. Stand up, Enoch. I should have told him I was going to do that. I hope you're not offended. I got you to do that. Yeah, okay. There was a little story. A little girl told her story, her mother this story. She was telling her mother a story about Enoch. She said, Enoch used to take long walks with God. One day he walked so far, God said, it's too far to go back. Come home with me. That's what happened with Enoch.
Wow.
Kind of cute, isn't it? Little mum saying, this is what happened to Enoch, mum. Just went, one day just used to go on long walks, and one day just went too far with God, and God said, time to come home. You can't go back. Turn to, I don't know why I wrote that out. I thought it was pretty cute. Go to Genesis chapter 6. So that's Enoch walk with God. And in Genesis chapter 6, beginning in verse 8, it says, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. This is the account of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Jephthah. Now, the most amazing thing about these men walking with God is the time and what was going on when they walked with God. Because while all this was going on, by the time Enoch's walking with God, the world is probably pretty much already messed up. And so by the time Noah comes along, and he's said to be walking with God, God says, the only way we're going to fix this is if I can wipe mankind out. And you know what? I found one man. One man who walks with me. And the most amazing thing is in a time when there was no one else walking with God. Now, I don't know how this... I think to myself, okay, these guys didn't have the scriptures. So what was going on? Well, they knew right from wrong. We knew if you go back to the garden, when they ate the apple, it says they knew now right from wrong. God could obviously wipe out mankind because they knew what they were doing. These men were living by their consciences. I don't know what... They didn't have the word. God was walking in the garden. There's a sense that once Adam messed up and he was banished from the garden, I mean, what was the connection between mankind at that point? I don't know exactly. All I know is this is pretty incredible that these guys were walking at a time when no one else was walking with God. And I say that because we are creatures that are influenced by our surroundings. You know, we can get put off in our relationship with God, whether someone believes or doesn't believe. We can get distracted so easily, put off course so easily. So many people aren't here today because of persecution. So many people become disciples and they've left because they couldn't take the fact that so many people don't believe. These men didn't bow down to that pressure. And they didn't. Because they had that connection and that walk with God. What else do we know about them? No need to turn to these verses, but in Jude 14, there's no chapters, but just verse 14, it says that Enoch prophesied about these things, about these men, these prophets of doom. 2 Peter 2:5, the Bible says in the same sense that Noah was a preacher of righteousness, that Enoch prophesied about the things that were to come, that these men were not just holding their ground. The Bible says that they were preachers of righteousness. These guys not only stood firm, they went against the grain. That's what happens when you have that connection with God. You know, walking is an interesting thing. We put a lot of value in walking. My first, I've got a few points today. I hope I've got enough time to get through them all. My first point today is walking with God, relationship or religion. Walking with God, relationship or religion. Now, there's nothing wrong with religion in a sense, but of course when we think of religion, we think of people just going through the motion for the sake of going through the motion to cover their bases. Religion only becomes right when it's based on a relationship. Because the Bible talks about religion that is pure and good. But today we're going to make sure that what we do, our walking with God, is based on a relationship with God. Not just simply going through the motions. You know, walking is a big deal. We're the only species that walks on two legs. I don't know if you know that or not. But we are. You know, we make a big deal about walking. You know, people will video people, babies, what? You know, they all look forward, some of us do. We look forward to our child having what? Taking that first step. You know, that first step is such a big deal. They video it, you know, oh, look at him walk, look at him walk, look at him walk. And then once they start walking and realize the mischief they can get up to, they're walking, maybe I need to chain them up now. And we stick them in little, I mean, back in my day, we had these little cage-like things. You know, they were wooden, cage-like. You throw a few toys in there and you throw the baby in there. So they couldn't walk very far. I mean, this thing that you cherish so much, now you don't want them to do anymore. You know, learning to walk, I remember our son Brandon. Jared was never bothered because he just wanted to lie there, but Brandon never wanted to. Brandon never wanted to crawl. He always just wanted to walk. He wasn't interested in crawling. Seriously, I don't remember him crawling. I remember him just getting up and walking. Brandon. He didn't want to crawl. You know, to walk with God is to learn from God. And I think as we talk about this topic, I want us to say this. Don't assume that you're walking with God, I think, the way we need to. Some of us may need to learn to walk again. Especially when it comes to walking with God. And I say that because there's that false pretense in terms of the way we go about our lives, we think we are. And hopefully this will spur us on. I know for me, this has convicted my heart. How I think I need to do that much, much more. The question is today, and a couple of questions is, you know, who are you walking with? You know, if you walk with God, then you are in step with God. There's a few facts about walking you may want to know. The first thing about walking is you can't walk with someone without being in step with them. Learned that from Aaron Arcilla at the workshop last week. We were talking about this, and he said, you know what, it's a fact. You can't walk with someone without being in step with them. Think about it. Because if you don't, you'll get out of step very easily. You have to walk in step to walk with somebody. And I think that's an interesting point for our lives, because that's what it's all about. It's that whole idea of walking in step with God. You know, we can get ahead. We can fall behind. And I think at times in our lives we get that. We're either ahead or we're either behind. I know in my life, Karen is always asking me to slow down. The first thing I do is I'm always walking ahead. As soon as I get out of the car, man, I'm gone. If we're going anywhere, I'm gone. And sometimes I'll start talking, assuming she's right there. I don't know whether this is a man thing or not. I don't know if I'm the only male that does this in the world. But I'll go to say something and I'll think, where is she? Now, to teach me a lesson at times, she'll just stop. So literally, she could be literally 20 metres behind me. And I'm thinking, what are you doing back there? And it's interesting when you think about that. You can't have a conversation. Matter of fact, you can't hear somebody unless you're walking with them. You get one step away. One step either way. Just one step back. You fall one step back, one step behind. You can't hear properly anymore. How many times have you done that? You're talking. Like, I'll do this with Karen at home. She always says to me, we start talking, and I feel like I've finished the conversation. And as I'm finishing, I'll say a few words and then walk off. She says, have we finished the conversation? She said, what did you say? I said, didn't you hear me? Of course I can't, you know. How can she hear me if I've walked away from her? But I somehow think she should be able to do that. But it doesn't work. You can't have a conversation with someone. You can't hear somebody unless you're walking with them. And I think that's interesting for our lives and our relationship with God. You know, how clearly do we hear God's voice now? How clear is it? Is it clear? We've got a clear sound of the word. Are we in step with God? Are we walking with God? Are we running ahead or falling behind? Allowing distractions of the world. What are we doing in terms of our relationship with God? You know, walking is such a big deal. Tamsin, she was at the leaders thing, and she said something very interesting. She said, you know, walking, there's research to show that walking together with someone is how you resolve conflict. If you're going to resolve, walking with somebody is where a lot of conflict resolution takes place. You get things done by walking with someone. I don't know if you've ever walked with someone or gone for a walk. There's something about walking with someone. You say to someone, let's go for a walk. Things happen. It's intimate. You know what I mean? Things just come up. There's something, there's a connection being made when you walk. That's why I'm not surprised when the Bible says God wants us to walk with Him. God's not flying, He's not running, He's happy for us to just walk with Him.
Come on.
And I love that, because walking is calm. You know, running is, you know, if you're running, you try and run with someone and have a conversation. Yeah, well, you know, you can't do it. Aren't you fired up that God doesn't run and says, okay, keep up? No, He wants to walk with us. Probably knows that that's all we can handle anyway. There's so many interesting facts about walking. Did you know that when you walk, you're basically off balance each step you take? Each step you take, you're off balance. And if you didn't take the other step, you'd fall over. You're always out of balance. It's that other step that then stops you, the steps you take. It's crazy. And that's our lives, isn't it, in some sense? I think, you know, we're all out of balance, but you know what? When you walk with God, I don't know, I kind of feel like you're not that balanced, that you're balanced now when you walk with God. I've got a little bit of slide. I decided to bring some technology with me today. I know something I very rarely do. It's so take note. It might not happen again for another 3 years. And I should have gone. Now, you're going to need to help me here, because I actually didn't print this page off so I could read it while you're looking at the big screen. But just to make the point that there's so much evidence about what walking does, physical walking, and what it does for you and the benefits of it. So, Ford, give me the picture. Right. Further up. Up. The other way.
Down?
Yeah, that way. Keep going. That's it. Stop there. Oh, I've got it here on the screen. So this is just what walking does. Okay, can you read some of that stuff? Reduces glycoma risk. Boosts, what does it say? Endorphins. Halves Alzheimer's. Limits sicknesses. Improves heart health. Works arm and, what does it say? Shoulder muscles. Improves blood pressure. Engages ab muscles. Some of the other things it says, limits colon cancer, improves balance, burns more fat, strengthens legs, builds, what does it say, builds bone mass. And there, I mean, I could go on, and it talks about walking. There's one thing I read in another article. I was up till 2:30 in the morning, by the way, reading some of this stuff. And this is a big research done on walking. It says, conclusions. I'm just going to give you the conclusion of the matter instead of all the pages of research. Conclusion, it is indeed fortunate that mental restoration requires nothing more than the simple act of walking, particularly in natural settings. There seems to be no special advantage to time spent in spectacular environments. A walk through an urban park, a lunchtime stroll down a tree-lined street, or even an evening excursion through the nearby nature will suffice. And thus, this paper's major prescription for enhancing mental vitality is simply to walk. To walk outside, to walk regularly, and most importantly, to walk surrounded by nearby nature. I mean, and again, you know, I always look at these things and I'm so grateful for that. I'm so grateful they figured out that a simple thing like walking has so much benefit for our lives. Amazing. Amazing. And yet, I can't help but think, well, if this is the benefit, and we'll read some more about this in a book I'm going to read out of, imagine the benefit then you will get by walking with God. In a relationship with God. We're just talking about simply walking. Just go for a walk, 20 minutes a day, and they're saying, you know what, it'll clear up your life. If you have depression, it's like I read this article that said walking 3 times a week or something, 20 minutes a day, is the equivalent of taking depression medication. Something along those lines. I mean, that's what they'll say. Some people, before they'll put you on any sort of medication, will say, go do some exercise.
Yeah.
Before, let's go down that track, go do some exercise and then come back to me. That's the importance of this. And like I said, how much more important then when it comes to walking with God? And that's what this is about. This is more about having that heart. You know, it's so easy to lose conviction. So we easily lose conviction. We have doubts. We're not sure if we're doing the right thing anymore. Do we believe the right thing? Maybe it's okay just to have a religion or a doctrine that says as long as you believe in Jesus, you will be saved. I believe in that verse. In essence, I believe in that verse, but that verse stand alone means a lot more. Yep. You can't just say that. There's so much more to that. We can get confused by that. You know, I wonder about Noah. We know that Noah went on and built an ark. It took him 100 years to build that ark. 100 years. Do you think Noah, and I don't know why it's called, I thought about this, why is it called Noah's ark? It was really God's ark. But anyway, we'll call it Noah's ark because the Bible says it was Noah's ark. You know, did Noah agree with God? Noah must have agreed with God. He must have. He must have thought, you know what, God, I agree with you. The plan is here to build this ark. Interesting verse. Amos. Turn to Amos for a second. Amos chapter 3. It says, do two walk together unless they have agreed to do so? Do two people walk together unless they have agreed to do so? And my point there is this. But I think Noah was walking with God, so he agreed with what God was doing. He said, yeah. Now, I don't know whether he had doubts or not. That's irrelevant to me. The point is he did the job and he got it finished. And I think with us, if we're struggling in our faith, we're not sure anymore. We're losing our conviction about what's right or wrong, what the Bible teaches it means to be a disciple. But we have to say that maybe we're not in step with God the way we need to be. It's not clear anymore. Because if you walk with God, you agree with God. And if you start stepping a little bit forward or a little bit back, or you're out of touch and you can't really hear clearly, then yeah, maybe you're having a little doubt. You think, well, I'm not sure, God, this is the right way anymore. I'm losing my conviction here. You know, it's funny, I was talking about Aaron McKinnon. Is Aaron here today? I saw Mon. But I got with Aaron. And we're talking about this. We just talk about when we became disciples, and we're talking about, I was mentioning to Aaron about what I was going to do and this whole idea about walking with God, and he said, so it's like when I first became a Christian. I said, absolutely, when you first become a Christian, what was it like? And it's no miracle what took place, in the sense that the miracle was that you started walking with God. And was like, man, he said, I was ready to give it all up. Nothing mattered to me except God. Man, life was so good. I said, yeah. And that's the way life needs to be. You'll always be a little bit out of balance, but man, when you walk with God, you'll get through. Problems start to occur when we get out of step. Problems start to occur when we, like I said, we fall a little bit behind or we're a little bit ahead. We're allowing life to get the better of us. The two people walk together. They only do it unless they agree to do so. And you know what? Noah was walking with God. Noah built the ark. And here's a question to ask yourself. If God called you to build the ark, what would you do? Could you build the ark today? God said, let's do this together. Because my final point will be, if you walk with God, you'll work with God. And not work for God, work with God. Because I think we've got our arcs to build, without a doubt. God gives us things to do. Sometimes we struggle because we're not totally in agreement. And you can't walk with God without being in agreement with God. And that agreement is all about having that relationship with God. You know, what voice do you hear today? Is it the voice of faith? Is it the voice of doubt? Where are you in terms of your relationship with God? You know, maybe it's time to start studying the Bible. Maybe you know you need to get baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Maybe you know what? Yeah. I mean, well, what voice do you hear? It's pretty clear to me. It's clear to me what I need to do. Matter of fact, there's a sister who, not a sister, she's not a sister yet. She will be tomorrow. There's a woman here who's visiting from England. And she wants to make Australia home, I think, at some point maybe. Her name's Shuna, And she's getting baptized tomorrow. And I spoke to Shuna. She's only been studying for a couple of weeks. She said, it's been amazing studying the Bible. She said, you know what? I know now what I need to do, and I can't wait to get baptized. Amen. She's getting baptized tomorrow at St Kilda Beach, I think about 11 a.m. Is that correct, I heard? Elwood Beach at 11? Elwood Beach at 11. So you're more than welcome. But there's Shuna. I want to introduce you to Shuna. There's Shuna there. Shuna, why don't you stand up? You know, she said, I've been studying the Bible a lot, but I kind of never really put it together. And studying the Bible like this has really helped me to put it together. She said, I know what I need to do. She's just acting. She's just like, man, you know what? It's clear to me what I need to do. And that's what happens when you walk with God. It becomes very, very clear. It's not muffled. It's not like you're one step behind. What did you say? I'm not sure. Can you speak up a little bit? And that's my heart for the church with this series, is that we hear clearly because we're walking with God again. We're side by side, step by step. We're in sync. And that makes all the difference for our lives. Second point, to walk with God is to be changed by God.
Come on.
Go to Luke chapter 24. Got a few minutes here. Luke 24. This is a great story. Verse 13 says, now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 11 kilometers from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, what are you discussing together as you walk on the road? We won't go through it all. Let's pick it up in verse 32, and he reveals some things to them. And in verse 30 of Luke 24, it says, when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were open, and they recognized him. And he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? You know, I believe when you walk with God, it's God that changes your heart.
Come on.
And that's how your heart changes. These guys are like, man, weren't our hearts burning when he opened the scriptures with us? You know what? Because they were walking with Jesus. And that's how their hearts changed. You know, there's a book we've been reading, my wife and I, some others in the church have been reading. It's called Switch On Your Brain. Very good book. I think you've heard me quote it before, or talk about it at least. Let me read something to you, which I think is profound, especially if we apply the spiritual aspect to it. It says, outstanding research has recently been done by Dr. Gail Einson, a leading mind-body medicine researcher and professor of psychology and psychiatry at the University of Miami. She found that the most significant factor that made a difference in healing for those with HIV was their choice to believe in a benevolent and loving God, especially if they also chose to have a personal relationship with a benevolent and loving God. Her study ran over 4 years, and her determination of healing was based on the decrease of the viral load, the amount of the AIDS virus in a sample of the blood, and the increased concentration of helper T cells. That doesn't mean anything to most of us. The higher the concentration, the more the body is able to fight the disease. That makes sense. So obviously the higher concentration of T cells, the helper cells, then the body can fight the disease. She found that those who did not believe God loved them lost helper T cells 3 times faster. Their viral load also increased 3 times faster, and their stress levels were higher with damaging amounts of corticosteroid flow. I said that wrong. Dr. Einson summarizes her research by saying, if you believe God loves you, it's an enormously protective factor, even more protective than scoring low for depression or high for optimism. A view of a benevolent, loving God is protective, but scoring higher on the personalized statement, God loves me, is even stronger. Now again, this is just the mind kind of healing the body. This whole idea of what you believe. And again, I take this and I say, well, that's great. And I believe that and I'm okay with that. But then what if I take that to the spiritual world? What happens when I have that personal relationship with God? What happens to me then? When I believe I'm walking with God, I'm there with God, and I've got that personal relationship with God. Well, I think things like this happens. Our hearts burn. We're on fire. I know we talk about this times, you know, being on fire for God. I think that's what happens. And I think the difference with some of us is this, and I throw myself into this mix majorly. I think what happens is we believe in a God, the concept of a God. And that's amen. We're kind of there because we believe in God, so we have a faith. But we're kind of a little bit out of step. Because when it comes to that personal relationship, that stuff that makes your heart burn, that stuff that says, when God says, hey, go build me an ark, and you put your task to it. When God says, hey, go preach the word to all nations. Go die for me if you will. Go get whatever it takes to be a disciple. I will do it. Nothing will hold me to this world. You do it with a sense of joy. That comes from that personal relationship with God. And my heart for every single one of us is to have that. Where all of us are walking with God. We're in step. We're in sync. We need each other, without a doubt. We need the relationships. But more importantly, we need God. Sometimes I think we rely on other people. Well, my Bible talk leader didn't say, oh, I'm waiting for my Bible talk leader to organize this. I'm waiting for no one's following up on me. And I hear that all the time. No one loves me. No one's following up on me. Why isn't someone checking on me? And amen, we need to do that. But more importantly, if you walk with God, who was checking up on Noah? Did he have a foreman? Did he have goals? Did he have stats? Hey, Noah, you're missing a beam this week. Come on, buddy. Lift the game. Come on, man. 10 years to go. Roof's not on yet. Who kept Noah accountable, I wonder? 100 years he stuck to his task. How can somebody possibly do that? There's only one way. You walk with God. You walk with God. You know, and you know, take this the right way when I say this. But I do. It burdens me a lot. I feel like we have to continually drag and push. Drag and push. And I know we need to do it. You know, the Bible says that he gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, to prepare God's people for works of service. I have no problem for that at all. But it gets very tiring. And we're not going to go very far if it's always someone having to push and drag, push and drag. What's going to get more exciting and more encouraging is when we all get the conviction that we need to walk with God.
Amen.
And I want to make sure that I'm walking with God above everything else. Because I know when that happens, man, building an ark, piece of cake. What's next? You got something else for me after I build the ark? Man, your hearts will burn like these guys burn when it comes when they walked with Christ. It will be so much better. And I'm glad for this research. And I understand the whole neoplasticity thing, that our minds are that powerful, and that's fantastic. But more important for me is what happens to us spiritually when we walk with God. Amen. If we get healed by walking with God because we're convinced of loving God, great, fantastic. Amen. And I hope you can heal every disease that happens and you live to 140 years old. Great. But that's not going to matter too much.
Yeah.
If you weren't walking with God at the same time. I guess one cancels out the other. You're not going to do that unless you believe in a personal God. So that's no point saying that. If you can heal every disease and blah, 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 you get up with, then amen, then you'll be fired up and we'll have to say anything to you. My last point, and I'm not going to finish because I've already talked enough about it. My last point is simply walking with God means you work with God. A couple of verses, John chapter 5, verse 16 and 17. You know, it says, my Father is always at his work. And what is the work of God? Well, you work that out. First Peter 5, we talked about this last week. The devil prowls around looking for someone to devour. You know, the devil's walking around looking for someone to devour. My point last week was, let's look for someone to save. Yep. I'm always amazed that people can say they believe in God. And we can say it here. I believe in God. I've got a deep faith in God. But man, we don't talk to people about it. We're not trying to save this world. Because let me tell you, that's why Christ came, to seek and to save the lost. That still must become a priority. And I don't want to have to say, okay, you need to go and do this. Because that's going to wear out. You're going to get tired of that if I just keep telling you need to do this. But I'm just telling you that if you walk with God, you will work for God. And you will work with God on what He's trying to do. As much as I believe it's true. You know, I love to work. I really do. I love painting. I love mucking around with my car. I love doing all sorts of things. I love it. I love to work. I love the satisfaction of working. Yeah. I do. I look back and I think, man, good job. Sometimes. I wish I could do better. I wish I was a better handyman. But sometimes, look, good job. Yeah. But I tell you now, I want my heart to work. I want to have a heart that's, man, I'm so fired up to work with God. I want to work with God. God's got a plan. He's always at His work. Well, if my Father's always at His work, well, I want to work with Him on what He's working on. Wow. And what do you think that is if you search your heart? You know, I'm excited. I know Sam's going to be speaking on some topics the next few weeks. I'm looking forward to what Sam's going to do as we look at certain men in the Bible who are walking with God. If you're visiting here today, I want to encourage you to look at the Scriptures. I don't know where you are. You might go to church. I don't know what, wherever you are in your walk with life. But I'm going to encourage you to really think about where you are in terms of your walk with God, because that's all that really matters. God bless. Let's all stand and sing. Come on.